If you'd like to turn to your Bibles, the reading this evening will be taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Well, good evening. It is so good to be with you tonight and have this good opportunity to worship our God together. And I'm excited, not just about being here with you, but the good opportunity we have to spend our time in worship and now our time in study. One of my favorite television shows that's on right now comes on the History Channel, and it's a show called Alone. And maybe you've seen it. It's in its fourth season now. Kim and I really, really like that show. And I can stand up here right now and tell you, if you were to ask me, hey, what do you love the most about it? Or why is it one of your most favorite shows? And I'd have to answer honestly, I have no idea. I don't know why it's a show that I like, but it is a show that I like. The concept of the show is they take contestants, 10 people, and they take them way off into the woods someplace, and they dump them there. And they leave. They leave them with some camera equipment, but they don't have any cameramen there. It is just them in the woods, and it is the one who stays the longest wins. Now, the people that they drop off all have incredible skills of building shelters and fishing and making traps and building fires. And you would think that people who would watch that show would love all of those things. But again, I don't like any of those things. I am the guy who likes the inside maybe more than anybody else that there is. I would do terribly on the show. I would be dropped off in the woods, and I would stay about 10 minutes until I figured out there's no inside. I would look, where's the inside? And there would be no inside. And then I would think, in order for there to be inside, I would have to build that. And I wouldn't do that, and I'd pull out my little thing, and I'd go, beep, come and get me. That's all I got, 10 minutes, that's all I can give. Well, it is an incredible show, and they're able to really endure incredible things. And they will stay for long periods of time. Last season's winner hit almost 90 days, 3 months out there. Now, the show is called Alone, and it's interesting to see the impact that being out there all by themselves has. Now, there is most certainly a physical impact because they're not eating the amount of calories that they probably should be eating. And so physically, there is something that you can take notice of, but almost every single person that pushes their button for whoever it is, the producers of the show or whoever, to come and pick them up, it is not that they were so suffering physically, it's that they could not handle mentally being alone. Whether it's just the human interaction that they're used to having, or mostly it is the people that they love, that they miss. But they just miss being around people. You watch that show, and there are times, because they're out there all by themselves, and all they have is literally a camera to talk to, a lot of times they'll go almost borderline kind of crazy. And they begin to kind of lose themselves and lose their mind a little bit. And that's what happens sometimes when we look around and we find ourselves alone. For the Christian, that happens. Now, we may not be just like that show where there is no other human, literal human around us. But there are times when we may stop for a second and we begin to look around and the reality becomes clear that spiritually we are the only one that is here. Sometimes that's a scary feeling. Sometimes that puts within us that feeling of, I don't know what to do here, or I don't know if I can handle this, much like those people who start to think that way, and when they feel so alone, they push the escape button. And I think spiritually, we have a tendency, there's most certainly a temptation, for us to hit that escape button because we don't like it. We don't like to feel it. We don't like to see it. We don't like to sense it. We don't like to be it. What I mean by it is alone. But again, oftentimes the reality becomes we're all by ourselves. Next week, I know it's not the case for everybody, but next week, or I guess really this week, since this is the first day of the week, on Thursday, my children start school, and I know a lot of your kids will start school as well. And when you start school, there will be times where you will find yourselves, as you look around, spiritually all alone. For you that are a bit older, you find yourself at work. You find yourself out. You're doing certain things. You're involving yourself into the community. And then you take a moment and really look around and you become aware of the reality that you are alone. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. But I want us to talk about it not how we normally talk about it. Normally, when we get a lesson like this, the preacher gets up and he starts to talk about, listen, when you feel alone, the reality is you're really not alone. God is there with us. And that is the reality, and that is the point. Much like what Phil was making reference to this morning with the parable, when he said, listen, there is an application point with being thankful, but there's other stuff there as well. It is the reality that when we find ourselves alone or we start to feel that it's not the case because God is always there. But I want us to step in a slightly different direction tonight, just for a few minutes, and begin to think that it's not just, hey, I'm all by myself, but God is there, so I feel better. Tonight, I want us to begin to think that even though we are alone, we can still have powerful impact for Christ. Even though we're all by ourselves, the impact can still be great. I think at times, and I get this from conversations that I have with folks, that Christians, they really almost question, will I ever have a positive influence or a positive effect on anyone else? Will I ever be able to really have an impact at school or an impact at work? I need a teammate. I need a bunch of people. We can all go together and have an impact. But if I am the only one, I don't think I can really have an impact there. Sometimes I think we put into our minds when we feel that, if I can just hide during those moments back here in the trees, when that aloneness passes, then I can come out again. And when we're all together, we can have an impact again. I'm going to tell you, God's Word teaches us that even in those moments, we can have a powerful impact. Each and every one of us. Let me show you some examples. One good man. One. And the impact that they can have. All right, a couple of things that I want you to take notice of, specifically how the Bible makes reference to it. In the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 6, we read this passage all the time, and I cannot tell you the amount of times that I have turned to Genesis chapter 6 and I have read this passage. And I did it again this week, of course, putting this lesson together. And I don't still think I fully grasp the aloneness that Noah must have felt. In Genesis chapter 6, in verse 5, it says that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. And so the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I've made him. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. One of my most favorite phrases in all of Scripture. Noah walked with God. This picture is given to us here of the world in which Noah is all alone. He's all alone. And, you know, I thought about that a lot this week, and I tried again. As I get older, I always go back to passages, and I convince myself, I'm older now, more mature. I'm going to be able to much easier grab hold of what this is. But I'm telling you, this week again, to really contemplate Noah and his aloneness. And at times when we find ourselves at work or at school, but Noah was able to take a stand. Even though he was all by himself, he was there to take a stand. An example, really, for us all. We'll talk more about that here in just a moment. Joshua, in the book of Joshua, the very end of the book of Joshua, we could have gone towards the beginning of his life, when it was that he took a stand with Caleb, when he took a stand really all alone, just the two of them. But in Joshua chapter 24, as he's getting towards the end of his life, he's talking to the people, and he's letting them know, listen, you're going to have to make some decisions. You're going to have to make some choices. And in verse 15 there of Joshua chapter 24, where he says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He is taking a stand, regardless of what anybody else is going to do. He says, I can make an impact. We get to the pages of the New Testament, we find a man like John the Baptist, a man who preached all alone, who said what had to be said. And Jesus, in talking about John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 11, says, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. These men, and we could have gone to more, at moments of standing alone, were willing to make an impact. These passages in Proverbs chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 12, excuse me, Proverbs 12, Matthew 12, but I want to focus in on James chapter 5. James, as he writes his book in James chapter 5, makes mention of the impact that just one man can really have. In James chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The power of one. Now, I want us just for a second to sit and think. Where are we? Where do we stand? In those moments of aloneness, are we just simply waiting for that moment to pass? Or are we willing to make an impact? We've talked already from this slide here about really the good influence and impact that can be made. But the reality is there's another side of the coin. There's another side of the coin that wickedness can be there. The story of Achan in Joshua chapter 7 tears down an entire nation where God steps away from them. Why? Because of one man's decisions. Achan, all alone, did he make an impact? Yeah, he made a huge impact. Was it positive or was it negative? It was hugely negative. You have the story of Judas in the page of the New Testament, the betrayer of Christ. He did evil by betraying Jesus, and now his name lives on in infamy even. Diotrephes in 3 John, verses 9 through 10. A wicked man who uses malicious words and refuses the brethren and causes huge problems there. In the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 15, as the wise writer of this book writes about the wickedness, even of one man, and the harm that can come from that. In the book of Proverbs, in Proverbs chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 18, the writer there says, "A wrathful man stirs up strife." Wrathful man stirs up strife. Just a few pages, possibly in your Bible, to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 27, the writer will go on to say, an ungodly man digs up evil, and then it is on his lips like a burning fire. The next chapter, chapter 17 and verse 19, he who loves transgression loves strife, and he who exalts his gate seeks destruction. I want us to begin to think for a minute tonight. Which of these two are we when we are alone? When we have an opportunity to take a stand, when we have an opportunity to make an impact, to have an impact, what kind of impact are we having? Is it positive or is it negative? Is it good or is it wicked? It's interesting to take note when we study through the New Testament, especially what is to be done about the wicked man or what is to be done about the good man. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 20, Paul tells Timothy there, for those who are wicked, they are to be rebuked. In the book of Titus, he tells Titus that those who are wicked, their mouths must be stopped. But there's an interesting, it really is going to be an interesting flip of the coin for us here in just a second. But in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 16, maybe a passage you're familiar with. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 17, as Paul is closing out this letter, he says in Romans 16 and verse 17, I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. We have a picture here in Romans chapter 16 where Paul says, for those who are contrary, for those who are wicked, note those. Take notice of those. Make mention of those. Stay clear of those people. That's something we hear often. We make reference to it often. We hear sermons about the importance of doing those things. But in Scripture, there's an interesting flip side that I don't think we spend a lot of time thinking about. In the book of Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the brethren there in Philippi, says, brethren, join in following my example. And look at what he says. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. On the negative side, we are so very quick to understand the importance of noting those who are wicked, of taking notice of those, and even sharing those things to say, here is someone who is trouble. Here is someone who is causing division. Here is someone who is a problem. We need to stay away from those kinds of people. But again, the flip side here in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul says, listen, join in following my example and note those who so walk, for you have this for a pattern. I want us to think just for a moment how often we are noting those positive, good, godly examples that we have. I've had opportunity this week to think about that. It seems that we are sometimes very quick to condemn, but not as quick to commend. You know, it's an interesting verse that we have here in Philippians chapter 3. Join in following my example and note those who so walk. All of the incredible opportunities that we have, all the incredible examples that we have of people having an impact. I'd encourage you, as you sit there right now, you think about the last time that you went to someone that you took notice, had an impact, whether it was on your life or even on the life of someone else, but really had a positive impact, and you went to them and you said something to them about that. Was the last time you took notice of someone who is bringing up their children in a good, godly way, and you said something to them? Or a brother who offers a prayer publicly for all of us that touched your heart in a special way. When was the last time you went and you said something to him about the impact that it had? We have so many examples of people having an impact on lives around them. So many examples to follow and to note. But as we kind of come to a close tonight, the question becomes really, which one are you? Which one are you? I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge you this week to consider whether or not you are a helper or a hinderer to Christ. I think there are times that we really, at moments, try to stay somewhere in the middle of that. Especially at times when we feel alone. You know, I'm not really willing to take a step out there for God, but you know what? I'm also not taking a step over here into the wickedness. I'm just going to play it safe right here. But I want us to consider what I believe to be the reality is that as we progress through life and we interact with the people around us, we are either a helper or a hinderer to what Christ is and what he's all about. And we have to decide which of those we're going to be. I'll challenge you this week. At times that you feel that, hey, I'm the only one here, I'm the only one around, to make a decision. To say, you know what, even if that is the case, I'm going to be a helper for Christ's cause today. I'm going to help what Christ is all about. And I'm going to have an impact on the people around us. Listen, being all alone can be a scary thing. It can be a frightening thing. We can convince ourselves of all kinds of different things. But even though I skirted past it a little bit earlier, the reality is, for God's people, yeah, we're never alone. As we sit here in an auditorium of hundreds of people, but most importantly, a God who is always there. For me, as we close, one of the most remarkable examples of that anywhere in Scripture is in the book of Jonah, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We're all familiar with the story of Jonah, especially Jonah chapter 1. All of the action happens at the very beginning of that book. All of the good stuff we say happens right there in Jonah chapter 1. God says, I want you to go this way. And Jonah says, I don't think so. I'm going to go this way. And he does. And he gets on a boat. And God is there and God is watching him. And there's a giant storm that comes up. And ultimately Jonah's tossed overboard. And God raises up a giant fish and swallows him up. And in Jonah chapter 2, the beginning of that chapter, you have a man who is maybe more physically alone than anybody has ever been. In the belly of a fish, at the bottom of the sea. And he raises his voice to God, as the scriptures tell us in Jonah chapter 2 and verse 1, from the belly of the fish. And God hears. What a powerful example. And for each and every one of us, what a powerful comfort that is. To know that as we think about the challenge that we've been given this week, to even in moments of loneliness, spiritual loneliness, that I can take a step out and I can be a helper for Christ because God is here with me. And I can have an impact on the people around us. As we talked about even a little bit this morning, great opportunities to glorify our God each and every day of our life and each and every moment of our day. We are helping or we are hindering. Let's make a decision. And I challenge you this week to be a helper. To be a helper in your life. To be a helper at school for Christ. To be a helper at work. And in no way be a hindrance to what God is all about. Well, I appreciate you listening so well tonight. We're going to sing a song of invitation. It is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for us to further think about where we are with God. Our relationship with Him is ultimately the only relationship that can make a difference. It's the only relationship that we should be focused upon. Because it is the one relationship that will rule all others. And what a great opportunity we have right now to think seriously about it. And maybe it's a relationship that you don't have yet because of your sin which separates you from God. Well, then you have an opportunity to have that sin washed away in the waters of baptism. Or maybe you've walked away from God. Well, it's time to come back. A relationship with Him is all that matters. Take advantage of this great opportunity we have to think about it, to think seriously about it as we sing this song. And if we can help you, let us know as we stand and sing.
evening. I want to thank everyone again for being here this evening to worship God. We especially want to thank the visitors we have with us tonight.